This is the Sever Room of Eternal Peril. Answer me these questions, three. The internet you see. What is your name?
I am Jim, a computer tech from Camelot Business Services.
What is your quest?
We are on a quest to download the Holy Podcast.
What is your favorite MMO?
World of Warcraft.
All right, you may pass.
Oh, that's easy!
What is your name?
I'm Lenny,
a computer tech from Camelot Business Services.
What is your quest?
Download the Holy Podcast.
What is the street address of Apple Incorporated headquarters?
I don't know that.
Stop! What is your name?
I am Arthur, King of the System Admins.
What is your quest?
I seek the Holy Podcast.
What is the internet throughput of a Trojan-free email?
What do you mean? A spam email or a legitimate email?
I don't know that.
How'd you know that?
One has to know these things when one's on the quest for the Holy Podcast.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Portals to Oblivion, Hawaii, Starbucks. Do you have portals to other dimensions?
Over there, in the media corner.
Thanks.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama! Now I know how I get here every time. It's the portals to Oblivion.
Yes, it is.
It's better than commuting.
Shh, don't give the listeners everything.
Now try portals to Oblivion. They're eco-friendly.
Yeah, green.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek, in case you couldn't tell by now. This is the show for December 5th, 2007. If this is your first time, stop it. I'm trying to read here.
Okay,
if this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the audio engineer who makes all this sound so much better than it really is. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm conjuring us all up from the audio portal.
Are you still on that cold medicine?
Yes, I am. I'll be off of it soon.
Oh, we're going to play with your mind today.
Yeah. What mind? I got you, man. There's no mind.
The mind is a terrible thing, and it must be stopped before it hurts someone.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing not to waste your mind. No, that's not it.
Coming up in this show, we've got hijackers hijack search results. We've got how they dealt with lithium in 1947, just 60 years ago. And hack your Mac Classic to something you can use every day. All this and more coming right up.
Up and away.
On this day in tech history for December 5th, 2007. This is December 5th. It's the 309th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 26 days remaining until the end of 2007. It was on this date in 1492 that Christopher Columbus becomes the first European to set foot on the island of Hispaniola. In a message before the U.S. Congress, U.S. President James K. Polk confirms that large amounts of gold have been discovered in California on this date in 1848. And it was December 5th, 1893 that saw the first appearance of an electric car. On this date in 1926, Sergei Eisenstein's battleship Potemkin premieres. German-born Swiss physicist Albert Einstein is granted an American visa on December 5th, 1932. On that same date in 1945, the infamous Flight 19 is lost in the Bermuda Triangle. Subscriber trunk dialing, STD, is inaugurated in the UK by Queen Elizabeth II when she speaks to the Lord Provost on a call from Bristol to Edinburgh on this date in 1958. And it was on the same date that the Preston Bypass, the UK's first stretch of motorway, opens to traffic for the first time. It's now part of the M6 and M55 motorways. On December 5th, 1989, TGV Atlantic sets a new railway speed record with 482.4 kilometers per hour. Happy birthday goes on this date in 1547 to Ubo Emmius, the Dutch historian and geographer. French mathematician Paul Panleve was born on this date in 1863. And December 5th, 1868 is the birthday of Arnold Sommerfeld, the German physicist. American airplane manufacturer Clyde Cessna was born on this date in 1879. This is Walt Disney's birthday. He was born on this date in 1901, the exact same day as Werner Heisenberg, the German physicist behind the Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle. British physicist Cecil Frank Powell was born on this date in 1903, and Italian physicist Giuseppe Occhiolini was born on this date in 1907. It must be physicist's birthday because American physicist Sheldon Lee Glashow turned 75 today. Then finally, Czech physicist Lubos Model turns 34 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for December 5th, 2007.
Kilroy 2.0 is here. Kilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Kilroy 2.0 commands that you listen to Technorama. Do you comply?
You think we could put
yes,
that...
Yes, we comply.
Yeah, I comply, master.
I love my work.
I want to yes. I want to hear that music on Guitar Hero.
Can't you play your own MP3s on there? Or can you?
I don't think so. Someone's got to program in for the different levels what buttons and things you push. Because they're like enhanced.
So that'd be cool if you could play your own MP3s, oh, wouldn't it?
They do muck around with the audio tracks. That would be fun. That would be yeah. cool. Hey, I wanted to give a, before we get started, I want to give a special thanks to John Noble for being one of the many people who support the Joe Murphy Memorial Fund by purchasing the 2007 intros.
Okay.
We had some technical difficulties with the website, but those have been straightened out. Thank you, Craig.
Oh, you're welcome.
You want to tell them what the technical difficulties were?
It was the caps lock Chuck's keyboard.
I had one keyword in one HT access file was yep. capitalized.
Yeah, it is picky. You know, and who what's knew? Funny is I recreated the whole thing on my machine. I was like, hell, it works. You know, and I started to copy up there and said, no, I'm gonna compare it and figure out what's wrong. And it was require group. The G is... mine was lowercase, but his was uppercase, and that was that's all it took.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, great moments in tech history. Hey, computer history was changed when the caps lock was made.
Hey, we've got some interesting people in the chat room. I want to catch them before they take off on us again.
Where are they going?
We've got Country Signs. Michelle is actually back. What's that been, about 6 months
Yay,
since we've seen her?
Michelle.
Wow.
I know. See her on Twitter sometimes.
Captain Rootbeer, Deb Drup, Dr. Zoidberg, D with E, E squared. E squared. I'm not sure. Fuffy Frog, Lord Cat, Mark Shepard, Marv Alpha. Wait a minute. Marv, is that Alpha. A reference to Seventh Son or something?
Yeah, I'm Craig Beta.
He's the Alpha Marv.
Alpha Marv.
Mike King, Missing Intellect, SB hates the BCS. I'd like to buy a vowel, Vanna. I can't decipher that name.
Yeah, cut the BCS out.
Soul Blaze, Technorama Bot. Wait a minute.
Yeah, what's he doing down there?
Technorama bot was an ad. Never mind. Welch right. Z Prime and ZZ Tim. They're fighting for bottom position.
Yeah, it's like golf. Golf rules.
Golf? Yeah. I want the lowest score.
Yeah.
In Technorama golf.
Yeah.
There's a game we could come up with. Technorama golf.
That's right.
Start thinking of the rules for that. You said you had something else to mention.
Yes, and all of a sudden my mind went blank.
It's that cold medicine.
Hold on a second. What was I talking about? What was I thinking about?
Music.
Oh. My novel. It's okay. Over. Okay.
You got
National it. National Write a Novel Month is over, and I finished it along with Fluffy Frog, who was in the chat room. We made our 50,000 words and finished the novel by the end of the November.
Did you like stop at 50,000 or did you actually finish the story?
No. No, there's no way I could make my story stop at 50, you know, 50K. But I'm still going. I took a couple days off because, you know, it was a little tiresome to keep finding time to write. You know, that was a problem in itself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I got to write in the morning, got to write in the lunch. I got to, you know. But anyway, it was a relief that it's over, so I took a couple days off of it, but I'm going to hit back at it. And hopefully, you know, next few weeks I'll have it done, edited, and then after the first year, I'm thinking February, March-ish, I'm going to do the patio book it or something like that.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you're going to, you know, Lulu it or...
Yeah, I probably will too. I don't know. You know, all at the same time. You know, I'll put it on Lulu or something like that because... I don't have no literary agent. Now, if you're a literary agent and you're listening to Technorama, I'm just kidding.
I can hook you up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to probably self-publish and, you know, do a patio book with it.
All right. We have some news.
News?
Oh, great news, everyone.
I don't think that was the appropriate response for today's news. According to the BBC a couple of days ago, there's been a huge campaign to poison web searches and trick people into visiting malicious websites. This campaign has been thwarted. But for a couple of days, there were a bunch of bogus domains set up with lots of keyword links and cross links and hits to make them look more impressive than they were, like they were actual authorities on certain subjects.
Sure.
Very strange. And people were getting... redirected, but somebody went to a lot of work. Says that this gentleman put in a search with things like hospice or cotton gin and its effect on slavery, infinity, and many more. He could be searching for really innocuous things and get nailed. This was really nasty stuff in there. And once you get directed to one of these sites that they had set up, it would download malicious malware code and whatnot and take over. And it's like just a bad, bad time. But this ran rampant for something like 12 hours. It must have taken an army to set up some of this stuff in advance.
Well, I'll give them an E for effort, at least. That's about as far as I'll go with that. Wow, that is pretty interesting.
Just ridiculous stuff that goes on these days. That was late last week that was discovered.
Yeah, I think most of those have been wiped out now that were discovered by Google and were taken out, right?
How do you...
Well, I mean, I remember seeing another story about how they just wiped out a bunch of malware... stuff out of their purged out of their system, so I assume that's what that is.
I appreciate Summerbrook sending this to us. It really raises some questions. How do you know when your search results are valid if something like that can come up?
Well, yeah, that is true. Well, you know, they just Google just rolled out, I think it's in their Google Labs or something like that, where you do a search and they give you an opportunity to mark things, kind of like on Dig, where you say, yeah, this is what I was looking for, mark it up or mark it down in your search results, which, you know, in turn gives Google some ranking on, you know, whenever somebody else will search for those particular terms or find those sites, it'll kind of move them up a little bit. So taking a page from digging all the social sites, that might help some with making sure you have good results, you know, what you just talked about.
It might, yeah. Otherwise, we're going to have to go to, like, certified publishers or something, and that could get really ugly.
Yeah, and we can certify our email, too.
You could, but a lot of people don't.
No, true.
Different story. We need to move on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Hacks and Strange Stories. I'll go get stories. Lenny.
Okay.
Be a part of the Friends in Tech community. Visit the FIT forums at forums.friendsintech.com.
Warning. The Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
Hi, this is Martin Wilkie from the Doctor Who exhibitions over in England, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Now, Hacks and Strange Stories. Good job.
Thanks, Looney.
I get lost. In the Hacks and Strange Stories, we've got what one man has done to his old Mac Classic. He's turned it around and turned it into what he calls the eye wipe. That's right.
Hey, I want to see Steve Jobs demonstrate this on stage.
We can't seem to get away from the toilet humor. Like I said, we've got four topics on this show, and that seems to be one of the recurring themes.
This is related to wipe out bugs and other problems.
The thing that cracks me up is this was found on Tech Republic, a site noted for more technical things about this. The whole project took about a couple of hours and 15 whole dollars.
This is a sister project to the iPoop. Okay.
I'm not going to go any further with that because we do have younger listeners and I'm going to leave it alone.
I think I just made them all chuckle.
Yeah. Thank you, Ron, for bringing that topic back up.
Yeah.
Next one we have is Brian the Brain. Now, we have a guy named Brian at work, and for some odd reason, no, I won't say for some odd reason because I started it, we called him Brain.
No.
It's a common misspelling. When people spell Brian, they spell it wrong, Brain. And years and years ago in a galaxy far, far away in another lifetime of mine, we had a student named Brian, and we misspelled his name, and henceforth through the whole class, he was known as Brain.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of carried along with me. You know, kind of like when your kids say something funny when they're younger and it becomes part of your family lexicon. This one sort of stayed with us, and Brain is Brain.
You know, he used to mess up his T's and F's, and we made him say truck all the time.
You only do that not in the presence of family members. Well, this is a toy from a coworker of mine. He pointed me over to ubergizmo.com, which is just a cool-sounding website in itself, for Brian the Brain. This unique device brings a new take to the word encyclopedia as incorporates the concise volumes from Britannica, a dictionary, and a world history timeline into a 13.75 inch by 11.75 inch by 10 inch body. It kind of looks like, well, a Macintosh gone horribly wrong.
What? Actually, it looks more like Spock's brain with out the rest of the head.
It's something on Futurama.
Yeah, yes. It's like your skull and skin have been removed, and all that's left is your eyes and brain.
Oh! Clear. Remember, Billy and Mandy started out on the Grim Adventures of Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, but there was also Dr. Evil. No, what was his name?
Dr. Evil.
The mad scientist who got blown up and all that was left was his brain and his stomach, and they put him on the bear. I can't remember the cartoon name now. It's on.
They put him
cartoon
on the what?
Network.
What?
This kind of looks something like that.
Okay.
They just had the jar with his brain and his eyes in there.
Okay.
I'll think of it later.
That does sound like Futurama. Okay. You know, they always got jars with heads on it, you know?
You can get Brian the Brain. It's only $120 in the U.S., and it's powered by three AAA batteries. That's pretty cool.
Okay, I made that part up.
Next thing we got in the Hacks and Strange Stories is motorcycles made from watch parts. Now, this is cool. It's a series of pictures made up of
people made the, it looks like something off of Orange County Choppers or one of these custom motorcycle places, but they're tiny because the face of the watch is the size of the wheel. And then they'll use the watch band for various parts, and they look like miniature custom motorcycles. There's about cool. a dozen pictures. They are cool. I would love to have one of these.
Wait a minute. Oh.
Yes?
Site started playing music. I was like, what is
That's
going on?
That's where the music started coming from. I was lining up these tabs on my browser, and I could not find that, so I had to shut all the tabs down.
Let me reiterate. I hate websites that have music automatically played.
Or some video clip that just starts yelling at you, because you may open it up not as your active tab, and you're wondering, who's talking to me? Yeah, that is annoying.
The other day, I pulled up a site, and luckily I had the earbuds in, you know, at work, and I was like, where's this music coming from? I flipped through all the tabs. I couldn't find it. It was somewhere on the page. I was like, I had to kill the Firefox browser to get it stopped. Well,
there is a feature that I didn't notice until a few days ago. If you right-click on any of the tabs, there's Close Other Tabs.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. You can shut down everything but the one you're looking at.
Yeah, I never think about doing it. I always end up double-clicking all the other tabs, which, yes, I know. But kind of defeats what you just said. But, still, I wish I was I could right-click and tell it. Not, well, you can. You can install... what's one of the Flash extensions for Firefox? You disable Flash. Was it not FlashGot, but it was I forget the name of it. But you can turn Flash off on the site, any site, and you have to specifically
flash
go
on.
And click on it to turn it on.
Flash off. The Flasher.
Yeah, actually, clap Flash Block. That's what I've got here. That's what I've got installed. I'm seeing.
So if you clap twice, your Flash animations turn off?
I wish. Actually, you know what? You could do that. That'd be awesome. All right. Hey, this next one is really got my attention, and I'm going to have to go. Let me back up here a minute. This next one really got my attention. Robert Scoble posted these three videos on his website, and they were recorded with his camera phone, which the quality is not that great, but that's all right. You still need to check them out. This is from buglabs.net. And this is a device that they're developing where you have a base unit, and it's about as big as a good-sized PDA, like the Sharp Zaris was, you know, that kind of length.
Yes.
But what's cool about it, it has no screen or anything, but you plug modules onto it to do that. Like I can plug a screen on, you can plug two screens on, and it's all based on Linux. And when you plug these modules on, it goes, okay, there's a screen. Oh, here's a secondary screen. You can program them to be the same. Two screens, maybe a game on one and a controller on the other. Pop another module on the back side for a camera or flip and flop them. You have to watch the videos. It's really cool and it's very hacker friendly. They said in the video that they would be less than $1,000, which I was a little put off by the price. But they had like a GPS module, a camera module, a screen module. It's really cool and everything's open. The API to talk to the different modules is open, the whole thing. So you can, if you know Java, they said you can sit there and you can write in C and any of that stuff too. But Java, they have a whole SDK. You can just, you know, make software. So if I put in two screens, and I could write a little program to tell it to do something, you know, special when they're both on, or write little programs to key off by a button or something.
How much did you say it was?
What's that?
How much did you say it was?
They said less than 1,000.
For all the modules or for what? The base unit?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. They said in a few weeks they're going to announce pricing and availability, and I'll be curious to find out. Now, Command Line told me that he had some initial reactions on his show. I think it was the November 11th show of the Command Line. So I would suggest go over and see it his, because he's always got some good, you know, heady geek information thoughts. I'm saying that in a loving admiration. How about that?
Darn that cold medicine.
Yeah. But I must have listened to that show, but I can't remember what he said, so I'm going to have to go back and listen myself.
All right, I want to go take a look at that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, watch the videos. The first one's like 17, and then he has a couple more where they're a little shorter, and he shows like a more final product. But it looks good. It looks really good.
Now, we have two things from the Remember When segment. The first is a video sent to us by our own news hound, Mad Marv. And he sent this to us. This is a video of how they disposed with lithium in 1947.
No, sodium.
No, lithium.
The website says disposal of surplus sodium.
Sodium doesn't explode like that.
Oh, yes, it does.
You sure I got it wrong? Okay, well. We'll go with
Hey, hold on a second. I'll tell you. It's,
they'll both make
up,
a nasty mess when you dump them in the lake like they do. This World War II truck pulls up, and why they have barrels of this stuff, I don't know. And it's in the winter, so it has to roll out on the ice, and then you get this wonderful pyrotechnic show. If you remember in high school, I don't know if your school did this, but we always had this jar of lithium and phosphorus and sodium, and all the kids thought it was cool when you take this little pea-sized amount and drop it in water and go, and of course all the guys go, oh cool, what if you had like
what can we do with that?
Barrel full of this stuff. Well, this video shows you just that. Way before the days of the EPA or any of the other environmental friendly or police type organizations, you could do this stuff, I guess. I just don't want to know where this lake was.
Here's the rub here, Chuck. This is an alkaline lake in Grand Coulee. So when you drop the sodium in there, it has a reaction with the alkaline in the water. That's what causes this problem.
They were doing that on purpose?
Yeah, to dispose of it as soon as it, you know.
Now wait a minute. Wouldn't that, if you dumped in sodium, wouldn't that be basic, or would that be acetic? I don't know. Man, I've got them backwards. I thought it was. It would turn into a base, so you'd need to dump it into an acidic lake.
This is basic stuff. Come on, man.
You add a base to an acid, and it neutralizes, right?
It should. I don't know. Does it? Okay. I was asleep in that class.
That's all I remember from 10th grade chemistry. That and Mr. Phillips wore golf pants, and he looked like a dork. So.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's some. What I was suggesting was there's some other videos that they reference at the top of the page. I see sodium, 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 so it's all sodium. But it just has to do with the makeup of the water that they dumped it in. And as soon as it hit the seeped in, just explode. It was cool to see.
It'll do that in regular water.
Sodium?
Yeah.
Cool. All
right. We also have an email from listener Weber. He says, go to www.adflip.com, ADFLIP.com. They have some old print ads. You might have to subscribe to see all of them, but there are some samples. Look under computers. See Bill Gates hawking the Tandy 2000. Our engineers are quite impressed with the processing speed of the Tandy 2000's 80186 microprocessor 2.
I like this
one.
I like this other one, this other ad. The Atari is hot, and so are we. Well, there you go. My. That's cool.
Who is saying the we? Was it male or female?
I can't read the ad. It's too small. We'll talk about that later.
Okay. All right, then let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Media Corner.
The Media Corner?
Got some fun stuff there.
The Media Corner.
How to hack a pigeon.
Pigeons with cell phones beam air quality information to blog.
I think I heard about this a while ago. When they said cell phones, all I could think of was gives a whole new meaning to carrier pigeon. And the crowd goes silent.
Using pigeons to carry packet data. You know, they would print out the data that was in the packet, and they would tape it to the pigeon's leg, and then they send it. And then once they got there, they would take it and put it back on the internet. Wonder what the baud rate is on that.
2 per minute. Yeah.
2 BPM.
What? Technorama, home to a couple of bird brains named Chuck and Craig.
On the next 101 uses for baby wipes.
The Scarlet Letter.
May your head fall off at an awkward moment.
Here's my interview with an energetic real man turned real dad, Phil Lerman.
Former, used to be the co-executive producer of America's Most Wanted. Now he writes daddy books and thank you notes.
It wasn't cotton candy like that guy said. My stomach's itchy.
Have you heard 101 uses for baby wipes?
Hey, kids.
Hello.
Technorama's at it again.
Spock, what in the devil was that?
It's one of those newfangled iPod things.
They're out for your holiday dollars, just like every other money-grabbing enterprise out there.
Oh, Lord. Oh, it's a big one.
Chuck and Craig have put together a collection of what they consider their finest work. Those Technorama introductions where they use goofy voices.
My throat is starting to hurt.
So go to chuckchat.com/technorama and you can order the 2006 collection of intros, 2007 intros, and Technorama news.
Tell me, what do you do with geeks?
Burn him!
They've got a pretty good deal that won't burn a hole in your pocket. Order the 2006 and 2007 intros, and they'll throw in the news clips for free.
Super size, you must.
A portion of each sale will go to the Joe Murphy Memorial Fund.
If you could do that, you know, that would be great.
Relive classic moments or catch up on missed ones like
Harry Potter and the Haunted Help Desk.
The OC3 is humming along nicely with uploads and downloads moving well in both directions.
Hello and welcome to another in our series, Life on Technorama.
Welcome to science film number 12, the most rare case of Tourette's. Skiffy Tourette's.
Hello, Empire Pizza. Would you like to try our curse on pan pizza?
Yes.
Welcome to Technorama Chiller Horror Monster Theater.
Have a laugh, help fight cancer, and keep Technorama going. What could be better?
Where are they?
Chuckchat.com/Technorama. Order now.
Are you ready, trolley? Let's go see King Chuck and King Craig.
We're flying all right. I think Craig's flying a little higher because he's got the cold medicine. We also have in the... Where are we? The media corner? Yeah, we're in the media corner. In the media corner, we've got... What have you found?
What have I found? It looks like Knight Rider has been revealed. Or, let me back up. Kit!
We're not remaking Knight Rider now, are we?
Where have you been, man? We've been talking about this for like weeks.
Does anybody have an original thought anymore?
No.
Does anybody have an original thought anymore?
No.
Does anybody have an original thought anymore?
No. Okay, wait, we're stuck in a time loop.
I think Hollywood is stuck in a time warp.
Yeah. Anyway.
Suck them into that portal of oblivion earlier in the show.
Okay, well, let's turn on fanboy moment mode for a minute here. Okay, did you ever like Knight Rider?
Yeah, thought it was kind of cool for a few shows.
Yeah, a few shows. Well, it was a cool show. All right. The car was awesome, though, right?
I thought it was kind of fakey, but I was a little older than you at the time.
You thought it was... Man, okay, I'm gonna talk. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to the audience. Remember the Knight Rider... I mean, the Knight Industries 2000. That was an
I'm
awesome car.
I'm sitting over here in the corner.
What?
I'm over here in the media corner.
Yeah, you just sit there and be quiet. Well, here's the new version. Now, they can't really go and get a Trans Am from Pontiac because, well, they don't make it anymore. And I think I saw the quote that the Hoff isn't going to fit in a Solaris. So, or whatever cars they've got now.
Doesn't
Pontiac.
The Hoff need like a wheelchair accessible ramp now?
I'm sorry, I can't get up the stairs. Just take the Hoff over to the side here. Anyway. So anyway, it looks like Kit is now a 550 horsepower Mustang Shelby GT500KR. It looks nice. Then right there at the hood, the air scoop in the hood is the red light.
He's a Cylon.
But you know what? It does have racing stripes going down this car, which looks a little odd. I would think it'd be really cool if it was all black. But there's some more images. If you go click through the Slice of Sci-Fi link, there's some more images available in the article. And I think it looks cool, and I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Unlike 25 years ago, we actually have the technology to make the car talk and do some of these driving things that it did. You had to make believe or they did cheesy effects before. Right?
Okay. Right? Yeah, sure.
Okay. So it can be twice as cheesy now.
Twice as cheesy. You know, you know what was really cheesy? Was those Knight Rider show made for TV movies that they had and, you know, afterwards, like, was it Knight Rider 2000 or something like that? And had like a team.
Knight Rider Christmas special.
Christmas holiday special. And they were trying to get to Los Angeles to save, car wrecking day or whatever.
Knight Rider meets Greatest American Hero. Those mashup shows never worked. Knight Rider and Pac-Man.
I want to see Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard. You know, in my world, they were kind of together because it wasn't like one came on at 8 and like the other one came on a little later. No, one was Saturday night. I can't remember. But anyway.
Knight Rider gets sold for scrap.
Hey, well, we did mash up Star Trek and Dukes of Hazzard. If you can do that, you can do anything.
We did?
I wonder what it would be like if they mixed Dukes of Hazzard and Star Trek. You think we can pull this off?
What? Con our way on a starship, now you ask?
Excuse me. Only authorized personnel are allowed on the bridge.
Look here, pointy-ear guy. We have orders.
Yeah. The command of the ship has been assigned to us.
Us? It is only logical that there can only be one captain.
Well, that would be me.
No, that would be me.
No, me.
Oh, I said I'm the captain.
Welcome aboard, captain.
All right, first order business, let's get this ship moving.
Engine room.
Hey, Cooter, how's it going down there?
Well, boys, everything looks good in here so far. Wish I could shoehorn this engine into the General Lee.
Think we can handle some warp drive?
From the looks of it, I reckon.
Good, thanks, man. Hey, you up there, what's your name?
Me, sir? My name is Sulu.
All right, Sulu, let's put this thing in gear and kick it like Jackie Chan.
Is that a direct order, sir?
Hey, now, don't get smart with me. Let's get a move on.
Yes, sir.
And would you stop playing with those buttons?
Thank you for pressing the self-destruct button.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one.
Okay, I'm going to edit that part out. Make it sound like you knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, loved it. Great.
All right. Well, what do we got?
My favorite. From Zaha Doom, we also have links to three different videos about the Dell tablets. I did not have a chance to screen all of these before the show started, before we started recording. The first one, however, has a tablet PC underneath a radial arm saw. And the guy's going back and forth. He proceeds to saw this thing in half. And then the ad is something like, you know, don't like your current tablet PC. Wait for the X, the TX. I swear it said XT, but that can't be right.
The XT is about to come out any day now.
Can't wait. Two floppy drives.
Yeah.
8 expansion slots instead of 5.
Wow.
Expansion slots. Does anybody actually care about those? Well, I guess you would if you'd bought a tower case.
Video cards are still a big issue, I think, sometimes.
Now, I want to know this, and maybe the listeners can call in on this.
Mm-hmm.
How many people actually do more than just, say, a memory upgrade on their machine anymore? Do you really need expansion slots for anything anymore?
Well, if you're a gamer, I think the video card is the big thing.
Okay, so you buy a machine with a video card, and you run it for, what, a year, 2 years, and then you get another one? Those things aren't the cheapest in the world. I mean, help me understand what the marketplace is for the expandable motherboards.
Well, you know, just the other day I had to use a serial and parallel card combo card.
Remind me of something in that video game show that I saw that I just laughed. I said it was a sign of the times.
Oh, what's
dip
that?
Dip switches. You never see dip switches on anything anymore.
I know. Weren't those always fun? You know what
jumper
I always loved?
Settings.
I always
you got
loved
your IRQs set right?
Well, you know, I always loved it when there's like a bank of switches you had to reach, you had to get to, and they're like under the floppy cage.
You know, scrape your knuckles on the through hole part leads that are sticking out. Ow.
Yeah. You know, speaking of case injuries, you know, I think one of the worst things I've had was this company I was working for. They use these cheap Taiwan or Chinese cases, right?
Yes.
Where it's like the edge of the inside, you take the case off and inside the metal structure, none of the edges were finished. So it's like, you know, it's like metal strands. You could still, you know, you could feel it. and I picked up the case with the inside of my palm, you know, on the inside of the case, and the thing slid. Man, that was painful.
Like a butcher knife.
Yeah, go ahead and take the rest of the hand off because it hurts so bad. Those stupid things. I'd always cut my knuckles or, you know, all that crap. Putting in motherboards? Shoot, man. Oh, don't get me started.
One more quick break and we'll be back with the Geek Library.
Sorry, okey-doke. I'm still in pain. I'm in pain, man.
Scarred for life.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on.
Be right back.
Guten Morgen. My name is Herm from Germany. Whenever I am driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Shock Shed Technorama podcast with his little friend, Craig Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Einlehr ein.
This is Tornado Tim, Storm Chaser from Greeley, Colorado, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Let everybody know that we are running a contest.
It's been a long contest. Mm-hmm.
This is a contest. We have two licenses of iDefrag from Coriolis Systems. This is a great disk defragger for the Mac. Now, if you don't have a Mac, don't worry. It is Mac-only software, unfortunately. But I'm sure you know somebody with a Macintosh that would make a great Christmas present and make you look like a hero. So if you want to enter, it's the standard contest rules. You know, no families of the chuckchat.com employees, all that kind of stuff. All our employees. So that takes, what, half our listeners out right there.
Yeah.
Send an email to contest@chuckchat.com and put in the subject line iDefrag. Sounds more like a sentence than a product name.
Not related to the two projects we mentioned earlier in the Hacks and Strange Stories.
We will be doing a drawing on the show that's recorded on the 20th. Oh, we're not going to be around the 23rd. Have all of your contest entries in by midnight, Saturday the 22nd. I think I got my dates right on that.
This is very well thought out, Chuck.
Yeah, I know. I should have put it all in the show notes.
In a calendar.
I'm looking at the calendar. 2007. Calendar.
We are doing a show after Christmas, though.
Yes, but I want to have this done and recorded and get the winners out by the 22nd so that I'd make a nice Christmas present. Okay. So, midnight Saturday, December 22nd, get your emails to me. Entries after that won't be accepted.
Right. And think about it this way. If you're listening in the chat room on Sunday nights, you actually had a heads up on this.
You got a heads up. And I have sent the promo out to several other podcasts in hopes that we'll track some people that way.
Yeah,
listen to win. Send us an email. All right. Speaking of Mac OS X, not that this is a Mac-only podcast, but we just have two things in a row here, the contest, and we have a way to turn your Windows machine and make it look like a Mac.
Yeah, you know, which is kind of interesting, but, you know, I've seen the same thing for Linux. Make your Linux look like a Mac. You know what? When I work on Linux, I prefer to keep it look like Linux. Same thing with Windows, because I want to be able to identify that I'm working on Windows and I want to run away from it.
Well, you know, flattery, what is it? Flattery? No, imitation is a serious form of flattery.
Yes.
There are five ways to make your PC look more like a Mac. One of them is a way, there's a dock in here, there's a way to make your desktop look more like it, there's a way to skin it, or a theme in Windows, and when you get done with it all, it actually looks pretty darn close. Now, does it actually run like a Mac?
Yeah, especially that last screenshot, oh yeah. But, you know, like I said, Windows is, in some ways, is okay. I like it for what it is, and you know what? I think the way it works, it works for Windows. And I like the way the Mac works when I work on the Mac. And I love the way Linux works when it you know, when I work on Linux, and I don't really need them all to look alike and act alike. And I've seen these all the time, you know, how to make Mac look like Windows. What?
If you've got the motivation and you want to fool your friends, go for it.
Yeah, okay. Well, all there right, you go.
Last article we've got. What did you find? This sounds more like an Elton John song.
What did I find?
The brick is back. The brick is back.
Yeah, the brick is back in town. Yeah, this is we've been talking about cell phones, especially the big old cell phones, the retro phones, you know, lately, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I ran across this. I was like, this is so going in the show. It says the brick is back with the retro mobile. This is a miniature phone that is made to look like an old cell phone, like one of the brick models. It says, is the mobile phone really mature enough for brick phones to make a retro comeback? I guess so. According to the makers of the ironically named Mini Mobe, the answer is yes. The Mini Mobe is definitely designed in the retro brick phone style, but at only 3.5 centimeters wide.
And 11 so. Centimeters high. That's, yeah, it looks like it is a mini brick.
Yeah, it's a mini brick. It has MP3 player, camera, 128 meg card for SD slot. Da da da. Anyway,
the battery life, because it's so big, makes this thing attractive.
Yeah, that's the funny thing.
30 days of standby and a full 72 hours of continuous talk time. That's 3 days.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just a little awkward, but yeah, it's 3 days. That's awesome.
That's
if you got to talk for 3 days.
If you could. It's a marathon.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking for almost 3 years, huh?
All right. That takes us to the end.
The end?
Anything else that you can think of?
No.
Me neither. So, if you want to get in touch with us, we appreciate it. Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. You can also email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. The website has always been there, always will be, www.chuckchat.com. There's also donations in the tip jar, one-time or monthly micropayments. And we do have quite a few people. I want to extend my appreciation to all those people who are still on that monthly payment plan.
Thank you.
Car is in the bank. We're emailing you your prize.
We're laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, no.
No, that really helps because, the hosting and the domain registration and everything, it's not free. It does come out of somebody's budget. And, well, it's not enough at this point to continually refresh both Craig's and my studio equipment, although that would be nice someday. It does help to offset the costs.
Or keep us self-employed.
Right. We're not quitting our day jobs anytime soon, and I'm sure you're glad of it that our day jobs aren't comedians.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You can also write a review on the iTunes Music Store or Podcast Pickle. Put us as a favorite there. Podcast Alley, you can cast a vote or do whatever you do on any of the other podcast directories that are out there. There's millions and bajillions of them. Mm-hmm. I think I was updating one of the chapters in Podcasting for Dummies recently and went to
Rob
Walsh's thing. His directory of directory is up to something like 160.
Oh, really?
It's just, yeah, it's ridiculous how many podcast directories are out there.
We're in there,
days.
Right?
We're in where?
Rob's, he's got the directory of directories. Never mind.
He got the directory of directories.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not just a directory of podcasts.
Hey, speaking of podcasts, you know what my son asked me the other night?
Yeah, what?
He said, Dad, I want to make a podcast. I was like, oh, okay, I'm thinking I'll record him and say something on the show. He's like, no, yeah. I want to do my own show. I was like, okay, what do you want to do? I want to talk about, we'll do 1 minute of jokes. And then
he's got the show format already laid out.
Yeah. He said we'll do 1 minute of jokes and then we'll talk about cool stuff. What else would you have? You know, perfect.
Cool stuff. Just there's a thing in the show notes. It's just this cool stuff.
refer to audio.
What are you trying to muscle in on our content here?
It's like, wait a minute. That's all.
Technorama's got the corner. Yeah. Technorama's got the corner on cool stuff.
Anyway, I just thought that was cool that we were in the car and he's like, I want to make my own podcast. Oh, really? So
yeah, give him a shot.
We'll put
it out on this feed.
You might see the Harrison Hour here soon. Yeah.
Hour?
He's got a lot to say. He's a smart kid.
Break it up, man. You gotta save the content for a few shows. Keep them wanting more.
I may get him to co-host with you one night, see what happens.
That would be funny. Hey, we want to thank the following people for donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama going. We've got Mad Marv with all the blog content that he provides during the week. If you're not subscribed to the RSS feed or stopping by the website from time to time, you're going to miss out on a whole bunch of stuff. Good stuff that he puts up there almost on a daily basis.
Yes.
We also have Scott Reynolds and Ustream, who keep our modest live streams going. Once in a while, they behave on a fairly sane basis, but keeps us jumping during the show. So if you hear the little stumbles and stutters, it's usually because we've got 18 keyboards running in different directions. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.net. A world of audio wonder awaits you there. Tell a friend about Technorama, and until next time, binary high five.
Let's see how if I remember this. Oh, 101. What?
Cold medicine.
Yeah. 101. Peace out.